Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." Thank you, Lord. How many have said that to the Lord? Yes. How many know that the Lord will hold you to that? Yes. And the gifts and the callings are without repentance. God calls you, that settles it. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That qualifies you and me, right? Any creatures in here this morning? We're all creatures. So. God's creation. You know what? God loves us. He really loves you. He loves you the way you are because He made you the way you are. He wants you to be who you are together with Him in this world. Not somebody else. Don't have to be anybody else but you. Because if you're not you, somebody's going to miss you. We are all wonderfully, uniquely designed, made by our Maker. Amen. And been given purpose in this world. It's not just to exist from payday to payday, from hand to mouth to survive and get through and hopefully have a few toys at the end of the day and then turn it over to Uncle Sam or somebody else. No. Come on, it's much higher than that, isn't it? We are eternal beings. We're going to spend eternity somewhere. And eternal life doesn't begin when you die. It begins at the moment of salvation, when you become a new creation in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. What's happening is we are coming to the revelation of the truth, the understanding, the knowledge of who we are in Christ. We're no longer in Adam. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You're not a patch job. You are a completely new creation. I'm not who I used to be. Thank God for that, right? But I'm not what I'm going to be yet either. So if you ever get to the place where you think you've arrived, God is getting us ready for eternity. You know, folks, I said this before, but God didn't save us just so we could go to heaven. He saves us and then He gives us an assignment on the earth. That's for everybody. Everybody is to be an ambassador for Christ. And then the Lord said, I've not left you alone. I'm going to send you the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He's going to enable you, empower you to do what you cannot do naturally. So if you're here today and you feel, well, I can't do what God's asked me to do, great. Because that means that you're now in a place where you're going to say, God, help. God, I need you. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your ability to do what you've called me to do. I need your perfect love to be shed abroad in my heart so I don't walk in insecurity. I don't walk in fear. But the Lord becomes our confidence. I spent the week in Yakima at the regional convention for the Church of God, and it was great. We had some top-notch speakers and lots of times of fellowship and just times to chat and a powwow. And I don't know if that's the right term to use or not, but we just had a great time together. And I remember one speaker on the second night, I think it was, but he did this thing where he was going, you know, faithfulness, 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 fruitfulness. Oh, I'm getting dizzy. I better not do that too much. Then he goes, faithfulness, 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 you know, fruitfulness. And, you know, that's the way it is. You never become weary in well-doing. You keep your hand at the plow. You keep your eyes on Jesus. You listen to His voice. Keep doing what He tells you to do day by day. Be faithful. And you will bear fruit in due season. Amen. What you have invested, what you put into it, will come back to your account. And Jesus allows us to share, amen, in His glory. He allows us to share in His kingdom. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you and I the kingdom. That is so awesome. And Jesus came to redeem. Jesus came to restore us to fellowship with the Father. You know, and we get to be a part of what he's doing. And how exciting it is to be a vessel of the Lord. And I want to talk to you today about that and hopefully stir up the gift of God within you. Because we have an assignment. We have a reason, a purpose. It's not just about existing from week to week, surviving from week to week. It's about thriving from week to week. God wants us to have life and life more abundantly. That's what Jesus said. I believe that. We have to be aware that we have an adversary who is constantly trying to seduce us away from the Lord. He's constantly putting things in our path, distractions, things to occupy our minds and our time so that he can rob us from the eternal purpose of God and our treasure in heaven. He's a thief. So we've got to really focus in on what is it that God has called me to do? What is my purpose? Last week we talked about a life well lived. And what will you be remembered for at the end of your life? What will your life have been about? Will it have been just spent on temporary things, earthly, worldly things? Or will it be well lived in the purpose of God? Will we be able to say at the end of our lives, as Paul did, I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Amen. Jesus wants you and I to partake of his ministry. Every one of us. Not in your ability. Not if you're thinking about, well, how do I figure this out? You're not going to be able to. It's going to be by the supernatural ability that God will give you, because you're simply willing to go. You're just willing to step out of that boat of complacency onto the sea of possibilities. God is with us on the water, you see. Jesus wasn't in the boat, he was on the water. And he calls you and I to meet him on the water. Out of the place of predictability, out of the place of comfort, out of the place where we are in control of the situation, to the place where I must depend on the Lord now to sustain me, to keep me, to enable me to not only walk on the water, but to walk effectively on the water and consistently on the water. Amen? I know Peter gets criticized a lot because, well, he looked at the wind and the waves and he sunk in. Of course, we would never do that, but Peter did, you know. That's exactly right. He got out of the boat, man. So he's out on the water with Jesus, you know, and the other guys are kind of like, man, you going? No, I ain't going. Thank God for the Peters that are willing to go step out, you know, for Jesus. And I've discovered that when you do step out of the boat, he meets you there. And the key is to continue to keep your eyes on the Lord and walk consistently with him in that realm of the supernatural. God wants us to walk in the supernatural. We are supernatural beings. We have been overshadowed and we have been filled, amen, with the Holy Spirit of God. And he enables us to do the impossible. So we should live our lives with an expectation that supernatural things are going to happen, not necessarily sensational. You know, we like to run after the sensational and what's the greatest thing that's happening over here and over there. And we can run from place to place looking, if you will, you know, chasing fire trucks, as I heard someone say. You know, where's the next fire at? Let's go over there, you know. But just a supernatural life every day of walking in the Spirit and allowing God to be Lord of your destiny. And watch what God will do. And, you know, it's not about the guy in the pulpit. It's about average Joes and Janes, just average people, ordinary people, that God wants to work extraordinarily through. He will make you an extraordinary individual. Amen? It's just about saying yes to God and... Amen. It's about listening to the right voice. There's always going to be the opposition whenever God calls you to do something. There's always going to be that other voice that says, I don't know. So, I want to say this, folks, but today is the day of freedom. Today, you can be free. You don't have to wait. You don't have to go through a process of therapy. You simply need to repent. Cast your soul down at the feet of Jesus and let Him set you free from fear, shame, guilt, condemnation. Set you free from the power of sin. He came to set the captives free. And then He calls you and I to go and do likewise. To set the captives free in His name. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of deliverance. You can be free today. Do you believe that? If we believe, then we will receive. If we don't believe that, then we will continue in unbelief, and unbelief never moves God on your behalf. God always honors faith, those who trust Him. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
It's not even about how you feel. It's about believing God, believing what He said. Don't have to have all the answers. Don't have to be able to figure it out. You just need to go with your last assignment. What was the last word that we got from Jesus? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. And God will confirm His word with accompanying signs. What are signs for? Signs and wonders are to point to Jesus. Amen? Not to the person, but to the Lord. A sign says He's alive. He's resurrected. He's raised from the dead. Amen? He's alive forevermore. A greater one. The devil only has lies. If he can talk you out of faith, talk you out of belief, then he wins. If he can get you to doubt God's goodness, then you'll begin to question God's goodness. And if he's really been effective, he can get you to even get mad at God, angry at God. Because of your situation. Isn't it interesting that he causes the problem and then he turns around and blames God and gets you mad at God for the thing that he did? You got to get mad at the devil. Amen. God has good for you. The Father is good. He's a good Father, and therefore there's times when He disciplines us. But if you're disciplined by the Father, it means you're a son, right? You're one of His kids. It's a good thing. If you love your kids, you discipline your kids. But the Father always does things so that He can produce in us His character. We're being conformed into the image of His Son, Jesus, through the renewing of our minds as we're coming to a knowledge of what is true, what is authentic. Then our minds are being transformed, our thinking. And once our minds are transformed, then the reality of what's already happened positionally in Christ becomes your way of life, the way that you actually live. See, sometimes we know what is true, but the other part of us is in the way. It's resisting and revolting against the truth. And so that part of us has to come under submission to the Holy Spirit. That mind has to grow up. We have to get beyond childhood, and we've got to get beyond the teen years, of thinking, God, why did you do it this way? How many know who J. Vernon McGee is? Through the Bible, right? I've got that series, and I was just looking at something the other day. And he's talking about how people are so arrogant that they question God. Have you ever questioned God? Yeah, we've all got some arrogance, don't we? That has to be dealt with. So he says, you know, questioning God is like an ant coming into your house, sitting in your living room floor, looking up at you and say, you know, I don't like the way the furniture is in this house. I don't like the color of this carpet, you know. I don't like the way you do your flowers and your trees out in the yard. He says, what would you do to that ant? You'd probably go, ping, and then stomp him, he said. You know? Well, God is gracious. Thank God he's merciful. Amen. He wouldn't do that to us. But it's arrogance, folks. Can the thing that is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make me this way? Or why did you do that way? Come on. If you don't understand what's going on, you don't understand your situation, you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through, well, you got to trust his heart because his heart is good. When you don't understand, trust his heart. God is good. God sustains us. Does he not give us every breath that we have? Is not everything held together by the word of his power? God's got it together, folks. Don't worry. Amen. Man's not going to save the planet. God says, I'm going to make a new one. I'm going to renovate it. All things new. It's going to wear out like a garment. Because we're using it up. God doesn't, of course, want us to abuse the planet, does he? There's something to be said about that at another time. But he doesn't want us to abuse this body either, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Take care of your body. Don't do things to your body that are going to hinder or injure yourself or hurt yourself. Well, why did Jesus come? That's the question. He came to set people free, didn't he? And today's text is something that we've been at before, but I want to readdress this because we need to really understand why Jesus came so that we can understand what our mission is in the earth. Because Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so now I'm sending you. He's saying, you have watched my life and my example. Now I am going away and I am raising you up. I am calling you now to go in my stead, in my name, and do the works that I did when I was here. How many know that the Lord is looking for disciples? Not adherents. Not just church folk, but he's looking for followers. He's looking for learners, life learners. He's looking for those who will be his disciples. I want to be a disciple of the Lord. I want to learn about my master because I want to become like him. Do you know that Jesus wants you and I to become like him? He wants us to walk like him in this world. Now, when I said that, you're probably thinking, man, there's this great distance between Jesus and the way he lived and the way that I'm living right now. How many had that thought when I just said that? Nobody's going to raise their hand, of course, because you're all too spiritual, but no. I got my hand up, all right? There is a gap between what God says and expects and where we are right now. But as we grow and we mature, we become more like him. And we are to grow up and to be mature, amen, complete in him, and to live just like Jesus did when he's on the earth. And Jesus demonstrated through his life and example that what I do, I cannot even do in my humanity, but I completely rely upon the ability of the Holy Spirit. By the power of God, you can accomplish the will of God. But you cannot accomplish the will of God apart from the power of God. The will of God is bigger than you and I. It is superior to our ability, what God has called us to do. God has called us to cast out devils. God has called us to heal the sick. God has called us to proclaim liberty to the captives. Amen? The opening of the eyes of the blind to let the prisoners go free. I want you to look at this with me, if you would, in Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. This is right after the temptation in the wilderness. He had been fasting for 40 days. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. How many know if Jesus went to church, we should go to church? And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Of course, then he closed the book and sat down. What would he say? "This day, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Ha! The Messiah had come. And what he was reading about himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. What was he called to do? Number one, he was called to preach good news to the poor. Two, to heal the brokenhearted. Three, to preach deliverance to the captives. Fourth, recovery of sight to the blind. And fifthly, to set at liberty those who are bruised. The first thing is the good news to the poor. Who are the poor? Well, the poor is really, it can be a broad statement there. I mean, it can include a lot of different people. It doesn't just mean people that are poor financially. It means those who are destitute, possibly, of the comforts of this life, and therefore may be more readily disposed to seek the treasure in heaven. Do you know that people who are poor in this world are often more rich in faith? Because they're not trusting in the uncertain riches and the temporary things that are easily accessible to them, but they're in a place where they see that in this world I may not have much, but I've got my eyes upon heaven. And I want to have treasure in heaven. Like the old song, I've got a mansion just over the hilltop in that bright land where we'll never grow old. I'm satisfied here with just a cottage below, a little silver and a little gold. But in that city where the ransomed shall shine, I want a gold one that's silver lined. He's talking about keeping your eyes on heaven. Amen. Living for eternity. And even though you may not have much here, you can be rich towards God. Oh, those who are poor in spirit could also qualify. Who are the poor in spirit? They're the ones that say, "God, I need you. God, I'm desperate for you. God, I need your touch. God, I want your presence. God, I just want you." See, when we're full of self, when we're rich in ourselves, come on, you know what I'm talking about. It's not about God, what, you know, I need you. It's about, why should I need God? Because I've got everything I want, everything I need. You know, it's harder to reach people that have a lot of stuff because they're trusting in their uncertain riches. That's the poor. And then he said he came to do what? To heal the brokenhearted. Who are the brokenhearted? Those are the folks that are deeply afflicted. Their hearts are broken. It could be by external calamities. You know, broken marriages, relationships, loss, grief, stricken hearts, you know. But it also, I believe, speaks to those who are broken about their sin, broken about the condition of their life. And they're not liking what they see. And they want God to fix them. Because you know as well as I do, we cannot fix ourselves. You really cannot, folks. You can patch things up. You can make a few adjustments in your life. But Jesus didn't come just to patch us up. Amen? We can do that naturally. Jesus came to change, transform us. by the Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. He came to heal those who are broken, those who realize their need. He also came to deliver the captives. Who are the captives? The word captives in the Greek means prisoner of war. He came to set free those who have been taken captive by the adversary, by Satan. He came to break that curse, amen? He came to break the bonds and set people free, to release them from the grip of the wicked one. The anointing breaks or destroys that yoke of oppression. Jesus came to set us free, to liberate us. Hallelujah. And today is the day of deliverance. Today is the day of freedom. You can walk out of here completely free today. If you're poor in spirit, if you realize that you need God, that's great. That's wonderful. Because then you will be filled with God. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They're the ones who will be filled. If we're full of ourselves, we don't realize our need of God. So God brings us to a place, often of destitution, so we realize our need of God. And then when we receive the grace, the mercy of God, we're so blessed. It's so far superior to our momentary comforts. How could the disciples rejoice that they were counted worthy to receive stripes for Jesus' name? Because they were living in a different place. Amen. They were living in a higher plane. It was the joy of the Lord that enabled them to do the impossible. It was by the grace of God, it was by the Spirit of the Lord that they are able to rise above their situation. So Jesus came to give liberty to those who were enslaved to the devil and restore them to freedom. And by the way, this opening of the prison does not mean literally that people are going to be getting out of jail, free card, amen? However, if God decides to let you out, He can make a way, amen? The heart of the king is in the hands of the Lord, and He can turn it any way He wants. And sometimes God has just said, you know what, you've been faithful, and I'm going to give you a break here, and you're getting out early. No matter what happens, we need to trust in the Lord. What does He do? He comes to set us free. The truth breaks off every chain of sin, of self, and of Satan. What He came to do? He came to give us sight to the blind. The recovery of sight to the blind. Who are the blind? I just want to take a minute on this one. He's not talking just about physical blindness. How many know that that's true? But He's talking about those who are blind to the truth. As long as we're blind to the truth, we walk in darkness and we don't know where we're going. You know, it grieves my heart sometimes when God gives a message and there are people who really need to be hearing this who are not here to hear it. Because the enemy knows, he's very strategic. A lot of times the enemy knows ahead of time what I'm going to talk about. And he'll go to those people and he'll work on them, so that he can steal from them the message of the truth that could set them free. Yeah. You understand? We've got to be very careful that we're listening to the right voice. That we just are not led by our feelings, but that we are led by the Spirit of the Lord. I wonder how many times in my life that I have been ripped off. Probably countless times, because I didn't listen to the right voice. I was listening to that other voice who came to rob from me. You know, folks, you don't have to answer to me. So be at ease. You answer to God. It's between you and Him what you do with your life, the way that you live it. How many know that He sees in secret? He knows what's going on in your secret heart where you really live. You know, man judges by the outward appearance, and sometimes we can put on a pretty good show, but God knows the reality of the situation. And if we humble ourselves, He can fix us, you know. He can turn it around. If we're willing to say, Lord, help me. I can't do it. I can't change my heart. You can, though. Who are the blind? I want you to look at this with me, if you would. John chapter 9, verse 39. John chapter 9, verse 39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see may see, and that those who see may be made blind." Now, how many ever scratched your head when you saw that for the first time? He says that those who do not see may see, verse 39, and that those who see may be made blind. Now, some of the Pharisees, the religious leaders who were with him, heard these words and said to him, "Are we blind also?" Why do you think they even asked the question? You think they might have just kind of thought he was talking about them a little bit? Jesus said to them in verse 41, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." Do you understand that people are not condemned for what they cannot do? We're not responsible for the thing that we don't understand. But when you understand what is true and what is right, to the man who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. And these religious leaders thought that they had the monopoly on revelation and on truth and on knowledge. And Jesus was raining on the parade. Jesus shows up and everybody says, "Hey, we're out of here. We're tired of walking after you guys. You guys are just whitewashed tombs. You know, you speak eloquently, but there's no life." And then when Jesus shows up and he opens his mouth and begins to speak, there is power in his words. There is authority in his words. And those words are life transforming. They are spirit and they are life. And they begin to say, "Wow, no man ever spoke like this man." They took note of Jesus when he spoke. And they were starting to lose their following because they've said, "They're all going after him. They're all walking after Jesus. What shall we do?" And they've started to plot to get rid of him. You know, the same thing happens today among believers. There's jealousy sometimes, you know. And when a person is jealous, sometimes they'll get really nasty. And they'll try to destroy the character of the person they're jealous of. But he said to them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin." See, they were not willing to humble themselves, folks, and acknowledge that they didn't have it all. They didn't have it all together. They didn't know it all. They were unwilling to bow their knee to Jesus. You see, it was the ones, the babes, it was those who had a teachable heart, who had a humble heart, had a pliable heart, those who were willing to say, "Lord, teach me, feed me." They were in their twos, you know. Why this? Why that? What about this? What is that? What is that? Come on. Those who seek are the ones who discover. We should be searching out the truth because it's through the truth that we're free. But if we're arrogant and we think sometimes that, you know, we're smarter than God. You see, Jesus is also talking to a class of people that were self-righteous. They thought that within themselves they were righteous because they were observers of the law. Not only the law, but they had also introduced all kinds of additional rules. And they put these heavy burdens on the people. And these people are under so many rules and regulations that they were just, you know, falling under the weight of it. And Jesus came and said, "Listen, guys, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, you know, and I'll give you rest. I want you to hook up with me. Take my yoke upon you. Let's walk this thing together. Amen. Hallelujah. It's not all on you. We're going to do this thing together. So these guys thought that they could see, and because of that, there was no mercy for them, because it's through to the humble that God gives His grace. To the ones who are teachable, God will teach. To the ones who are willing to say, I don't know, He will give knowledge. To the ones who say, Lord, open my eyes because I can't see, He will give sight. But to the ones who think in their own intellect that they're just so smart, God can't help that person, folks. You know, He can only help the ones who are willing to humble themselves before His mighty hand, that He may exalt them. It's pride and self-confidence. These are the sources of condemnation. And folks, if somebody is condemned, they are going to be the ones to blame, not God. God is good. God is just. God has made every provision for us to be forgiven, to be sanctified, to be restored, to fellowship, and to enjoy the abundant life that He promised. You understand? God has made every provision for us to live an abundant, overcoming life. He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him, through coming to the revelation, the knowledge of the truth. You see, the anointing that destroys the yoke was really speaking of the one, the anointed one who would come. Jesus Christ, the anointed one. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He's anointed me. And that anointing, amen, the Lord Himself is the one who liberates captives. The Lord Himself is the one who is able to open our eyes to see. Even as the disciples, as they walked with, you know, the gardener, they thought on the way to, you know, to, what was it, Emmaus? And they were walking with Him, and they didn't realize that they were walking with Jesus until they had sat down and broke bread, and then their eyes were opened and they recognized it was Jesus. Do you understand? You can't know truth unless the Lord decides to reveal it to you. And who will He reveal truth to? He reveals His truth to the humble. He reveals His truth to those who are childlike in their approach to God. Yeah. To the babes. I thank You, Father, that You've hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to the babes. Hallelujah. You see, it was the common Joe that was getting the revelation. They were coming to a knowledge of the truth. They were receiving revelation. It was good to their soul. But the ones who thought that they were in the know could not see because of the arrogance in their own hearts and minds. God gives His grace to the humble. Jesus told them, therefore your sin remains, you're guilty, and your sin is unpardoned. As long as you're proud, you won't receive the revelation of God. Fifthly, Jesus came to set at liberty those who are bruised. Who are the bruised? The word bruised means to crush. The word bruised means those who are pressed down by great calamity or whose hearts are crushed by the consciousness of sin. Jesus came to set at liberty those who are under the pressure of guilt and shame. He came to set us free. Again, it is the anointing that destroys the works of Satan in our lives. It is God's Spirit that sets the prisoner free, that heals the brokenhearted and restores sight to the blind. In John 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It is the Spirit of God through the revelation of truth who sets the captives free. It's the anointing or the Spirit of God who heals the sick, delivers the captive souls, breaks addictions, and gives sight to the blind. Come on, it's not personal talent. It's not charisma. It's not the eloquence of speech that sets people free. Amen. You can have the best prepared sermon. You can have all of it put together so nicely packaged and presented so eloquently, and yet it can be completely void of any power or influence. If it's not by the Spirit of God, it's a dead letter. We need the anointing. We need the Spirit of God, who's the Spirit of Christ, who He gives to us to enable us to do what we cannot do, so that the world will see that Jesus is alive, that He indeed is real, because an ordinary person is doing extraordinary things. Hallelujah. Jesus said, "You'll know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know why God wants to set us free? So that we can make a difference in the lives of others. Do you hear that? I said it before, but never be a Christian for yourself. You understand that? We're not called to be Christians for us. If all we're about is just getting stuff for me, for my benefit, folks, we've totally missed the point. That's not how Jesus was. That's not how He exampled to us. Jesus said, "I haven't come to do my will." Amen? He said, "I didn't come to be served, but to serve. I'm a Christian for you." Amen? You should be a Christian for me. We should be ministering to one another. We should be ministering to the world. Be a Christian, amen, to the world and for the world. Yeah. You want to be alive? You want to be vibrant in the Spirit? You want to be refreshed in the Spirit? You want to be nourished in the Spirit? Do the will of God. Represent Jesus to the world. Be a Christian for others. And you'll be refreshed. "My meat is to do the will of my Father," Jesus said. Amen? The will of God for us is what satisfies, is what completes, what fulfills, what keeps you vibrant and alive. Amen? If we're just recipients, we end up like a stagnant pool. We need to be flowing. Out of your belly should be flowing rivers of living water. Because we're saying yes to God. And we're stepping out of the boat of comfort and predictability onto the waters where Jesus is at. And that's where the miracles are. That's where the excitement is. Hey, come on, being a Christian is never boring. If you're being a Christian for you, it'll be stale, it'll be stagnant. Come on. But if you're being a Christian for somebody else, for others, you'll never be bored. There's excitement in serving the Lord. There's adventure in serving the Lord. We've got a reason to live and we've got a reason to die. We don't have to fear man. What is man? Amen? He's like that little ant that sits in the living room. Boom! But God in His mercy loves these little ants, you know? He loves us. And He allows us to be a part of what He's doing. Now listen, folks, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus in power and without measure, and He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for the Lord was with Him, amen. He demonstrated to us what it's like to live in the abundance of the provision of the Father, and God is saying, "Now I am calling you. Now I am going to send to you the same Spirit, amen, that raised me from the dead. That rose Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit to come upon you and to fill you so you become the temple of the Holy Spirit." Amen. And then you step out with Jesus on the water and watch what God will do through your life. Oh, come on. You got to get over the fear. The fear is in the boat. Amen. Once you get out in the water and you grab a hold of Jesus' hand, it's like all fear is gone. Think of David stepping out before the armies as they all shook, you know, and trembled in fear of Goliath. And there's a little kid that gets out there and takes out the giant because he had faith in his God. He knew his God was with him, his God was for him, and his God was going to give him the victory. You see, God's going to be with us. You know where God is at? He's where your assignment is. Where I am, there my servant will be. If you follow Jesus, guess what? He's there. God sometimes will call you to go and do a thing, or to call a person, or to pray for someone, or to minister to somebody, or to witness to somebody. Guess what? That's where you're going to meet Jesus. When you open your mouth for God, hallelujah, He's going to fill it. Trust Him. It's not by you, it's not by might nor power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. God doesn't liberate us just so we can go to heaven. But He sets us free so we can make a difference in this world. See, folks, we've got to be world changers. If the Holy Spirit of God is in us, we are to be world changers. God wants to be released through our lives to change situations, amen? To transform others, to set others free, to heal the brokenhearted. We're called to be world changers, hear it, not world conformers. If you're a world conformer, if you're trying to be like this world, you'll never be a world changer. Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." Turn to your neighbor and say, "My kingdom's not of this world." Do you really believe that? I believe that. I'm not living for this world. I'm not living for this world. I'm sick of this world. This world is not my home. I'm here to make a difference. I'm here for others. You're here for others. You're here to be a Christian for others and for the kingdom. That's where your joy comes. Amen? When you know you've obeyed God, you took the risk to step out of that boat and to do what God told you to do, and then you meet Jesus, and you're like, oh boy, it is good. It's good being with Jesus. Amen. Lord, I want to stay close to you. Where are we going next, Jesus? You know? Come on, you see that guy in the mall, he's got a bad knee or something, and God says, go pray for that person, you know? And you go and you just say, okay, Lord, I'm taking the risk. I'm getting out of the boat. Hey, man, I see you got a problem with your knee. Can I pray for you? Most of the time, people will say yes. Pray for that person. God heals them. Amen. Come on, the kingdom is at hand. Amen? And then talk to them about the one who just healed them. It's exciting to follow Jesus. Jesus told his disciples, peace to you as the Father has sent me, I also send you. In Luke 24:49, he said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. The Spirit of the Lord is to be upon his church. Amen. To empower us. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We don't need another CD, another self-help book. We just need the anointing. We just need the presence of God. Amen. We need to be filled with the power of God. And when we're filled with Him, we can do the extraordinary. We can do the impossible. Our children, our young people need to understand who they are. Children prophesying, children praying for the sick, and watching God work through children. There's a certain missionary to Africa who's raising up children, and she's taking children with her out into the deep forests or the jungles. And these children are laying hands on people and are getting well. These children are raising the dead. It doesn't have to be the big wig in the pulpit, amen. It's you and I working together. Just saying yes to Jesus. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Use me. Fill me with your power. And open my eyes to the assignment you've given me today. If every one of us would just start saying yes, take the risk, step out of the boat, and do what God tells you to do, we'll change this world together. You are to change your world, where you live, where you operate, your sphere of influence. You're not to conform to it, but you're to be different because you follow Jesus. Do you know people are looking for someone who really does know God? They're not looking for people who claim to know God but live like the devil or live like they do. They're looking for somebody that not only talks about Jesus, but they live like Jesus. Yeah. I remember when I was in the world, there's a lot of people who talked about Jesus. You know? I remember one time going into a room, and this guy was talking to me about Jesus, wanting me to go to a Bible study. So I walked into this room full of dudes, and guess who's smoking dope? Hey, man, you heard about Jesus? You know? Jesus wept, yeah. Do you understand, folks? We are not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world. I don't care what the government says, what they approve or disapprove. We are under a higher standard, amen? It's the Word of God. Our kingdom is not of this world. If God says no, it's no. If He says yes, it's yes. We are to submit ourselves to the governing authorities. We are to be good citizens. Are you hearing me? But if the government contradicts what God says, guess what? There's a higher law. God doesn't want you and I bound by anything. No substance. Amen? He came to liberate us from addiction, to set us free. Do you know that being under the power of anything is illegal for you, except being under the power of the Lord? If anything is, if you are a slave to anything, it's illegal for you. It's time for us to say, Lord, I'm tired of being a slave to this thing. And I'm going to receive my freedom. I'm going to claim my freedom in Jesus' name. I'm going to tell my mind and my body what the truth says, and you are going to submit to the Spirit of God, and you are not going to tell me what to do anymore. Do you understand? Yeah. You just got to put your foot down and say, flesh, submit, die. Today is the day of freedom. When I quit making excuses for my sin, that's when God stepped in. When I quit justifying myself, I said, Lord, you're right. I'm wrong. Then God set me free. See, sometimes with our mouths we show love and we show, you know, we know what to say. And sometimes we just say the right things to God, but God knows our hearts. And while we're saying this thing with our mouth and we're making promises to God in our hearts, we're kind of like, yeah, but I'm just in case, I'm going to hold on to this thing. Do you want to be totally free? Free from every addiction? Free from every enslavement to the enemy? Well, today, you can be free. Today. You know what it's going to require? You to repent. It requires repentance from all of us to say, Lord, today, I've made up my mind. I'm going to follow you. And if my flesh says something different, I'm going to tell it to shut up. I'm not going to submit to it anymore. I've made up my mind. I've repented. Instead, I'm going to say yes to you. And when you come to that place, you're free. Came to a place in my life, I had some substance abuse problems. Some of you know about that. For quite a few years. But it wasn't until I came to the place where I quit making excuses in my heart. I quit giving God lip service. And I made up my mind that I'm done. I'm done with myself. The way of self-will is the way of death. And I'm ready to take up my cross and follow Jesus. And I'm all in, Lord. I remember going to that garbage can, taking my stash. Freedom. That was the moment. God saw my heart. He knew I was being honest. And I'd made up my mind. And then His grace, boom, set me free.
Amen. Amen.
I was a new Christian. I was hitting the wine, you know. Well, wine's in the Bible, so I go out and get those big cartons of wine, you know. And about the eighth glass, I'm still not drunk, you know. The Spirit of the Lord got a hold of me one day. And I went out to the store and I bought a quart of beer. Some of you have heard this. I went back and I drank about halfway down. And all of a sudden, just the conviction of the Holy Spirit came on me. And it felt so dirty. Because God said, that's not for you, Keith. You know, get rid of it. So I took it. I never do these things. You never waste stuff, you know. I took it and I threw it. It had to be the grace of God. And I threw it in the garbage can. And guess what? I haven't touched alcohol since.
Amen.
And I've been drinking since I was 13, 14 years old. And I was about 26, I think, then. And God is the liberator. But it requires repentance, folks. Would you stand this morning? Thank you for coming and listening. And I hope that you take to heart what you hear today. That God wants you free so that you can help others get free. You be a Christian for somebody else. You live now in obedience to God so that you can help others who are struggling. Amen? And I know sometimes you just struggle for a while, but if you mean business, God will liberate you. How many would approach the Lord as a child with honesty and say, there's just some things that I'm dealing with in my life that I know God doesn't approve of, that He wants me to get rid of? Would you be honest enough just to just say, hey, we're all in this together. Some of us, we're all struggling, right, with different things. How many are saying that, would say to thee and be honest that there's some stuff in my life that I need to break? Amen. There's some things that God's not pleased about my life that He's telling me to get rid of. Come on. You see, this is the deal. If you humble yourself, He will give you grace to break it. You see, God will never convict us of anything that He will not also supply the grace for you to be free from.
Amen.
You raised your hand today. And I want you to step out and come down. And the rest of you, we're going to pray for. It doesn't matter if you raise your hand or not. If you're here today and you say, you know, there's some things that I just need to get free from. And God has been dealing with me. Has the Holy Spirit convicted you about something today? If He has, just come down right now and say, I'm coming down to get free. Because today is my day of freedom. Today is your day of deliverance. Not tomorrow, not in the sweet by and by, but today is the day of salvation. How many believe that today you're going to be free? Amen? Today? Come on down. Take that step. Take that step to say yes to God and no to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want you to turn your heart to the Lord right now. He is the anointed one. And He came to set the captive free. He's here to set you free today. And when He does, I want you to come back and give glory to God and to testify. If it's something you can talk about publicly, I want you to testify as to what the Lord has done in your life and what He's set you free from. You see, God gives His grace to the humble, but He resists the proud.